talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And over this long weekend, there was a lot of it in the making, believe me. I'm going to start with the infrastructure bill. It's the most important bill right now pending in the Senate and shortly back in the House. And here is what happened over the last 3 days. Started out with somebody trying to stick a stick in the spokes. Bill Hagerty, bad news, Republican senator from Tennessee. He decided that he would hold it up. Now, you might say, wait a minute, there's 100 senators. How does one guy hold it up? The senators have a very big opinion of themselves, very, very high opinion of themselves. There's 100 of them. And all it takes is one of them, believe it or not, to hold things up. One. Now, when you have 100 senators, now take a look at some of these people. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, people like that. Very bad news. Just one of them. They'll hold up anything. Fortunately, there have been improvements in the procedure. So if somebody holds it up like that, they can only hold it up for a little bit of time, and then it has to go to a vote. But it takes 60 votes to override the one guy. 60, 6-0, because it's in effect a filibuster. Well, there was an initial vote on Saturday. And they, more than 60 people, in fact, 49 Democrats and 18 Republicans, that's 67, voted to override Hagerty and to have it continue. Moscow Mitch was one of those votes. That is a signal that basically this is a bipartisan bill and it's going to get done. It's going to get done. So then what happened? Dozens and dozens and dozens of amendments. Anybody can demand an amendment. Some of these amendments are crazy. For instance, Joni Ernst of Iowa, bad news also, put an amendment that New York State would get no money for roads, bridges, and airports, and water systems, and broadband in their rural areas. Well, that didn't go anywhere, but you have to talk about it. Why should you have to talk about something like that? You get a nut from Iowa saying something stupid like that, picking out one state, a Democratic state, and they're not supposed to get any money. That kind of stupid stuff. Then you have Ron Johnson, our own senator. And I don't own him as a senator. I'll tell you what, I don't own up to him. He's said publicly he hasn't read the bill, any of the bill, and why not? Because he's going to vote against it anyway. It wouldn't do any good to read it. Now, look, this guy's a U.S. senator. He gets paid to vote on bills. You vote on a bill, you have a fiduciary duty to your constituents to at least read it, at least read a description of it, not listen to a description of it in QAnon radio or QAnon TV. But no, he said, I'm not even going to read it. Wouldn't do any good. Waste of my time. Like he's doing anything else anyway, because I'm going to vote against it. So you had all this business. It then hit a second procedural snag on Sunday. There was a motion that it would proceed to a vote, and that was objected to. It had to beat another, in effect, filibuster. It required 60 votes to overturn that. And I'm very pleased to say that last night they had it. And it passed 68-29. They broke the filibuster the second time. When I say filibuster, Moscow Mitch is going along with this bill. So basically, it's just one guy, Hagerty in the first place and whoever in the second place, and a lot of stupid, troublesome amendments that, you know, picking out one state like New York to get no money, that kind of thing. And it passed. So it is going to go to a vote this week. Because it passed that second test, it's too late for some nut, Rand Paul, Haggerty, or any of these people to try to put a stick in the spokes again. Now, what's going to happen? Well, it's going to pass, and to his credit, Bernie Sanders and Mazie Hirono of Hawaii and others who fancy themselves progressives wanted more. But they said, we're going to take what we get on this one, and they voted for it, which is very good. But now it has to pass the House. The progressives in the House, the squad and all those kinds of people, have said they're not going to vote for it, anything, unless they also vote on the $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill, the so-called soft infrastructure bill, having to do with tuition, child care, medical care, climate change, all very worthy. But a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. Why don't we nail one down and then do the other one? But no. And they've leaned on Nancy Pelosi, and Nancy Pelosi has said that she will not advance this bill unless the other one's voted on. Now, if what she means by that is the other one is voted on in the House, okay. But if she thinks that it's somehow going to pass the Senate, the only way it's going to pass the Senate is on budget reconciliation. Not a single Republican is going along with the so-called soft infrastructure bill. What we've been talking about that Haggerty held up, that jumped two procedural hurdles, is the hard infrastructure bill. Roads, airports, bridges, water systems, broadband, tangible stuff. Those kinds of systems. The so-called soft infrastructure, medical care, tuition, child care, climate change, and that kind of thing. Although climate change is a big part of infrastructure, in my view, and the rest is too, our national infrastructure. So stay tuned. We only have an 8-seat majority in the House. If nine people don't go along with this, it ain't passing. It better pass. In the past, what the progressives have done is something quite sly. They'll all get together and they'll go, most of them will vote against it, or many will, but enough will vote so that it passes by one vote. So Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley and AOC and a couple of these other characters will vote maybe against it, but there'll be enough that vote for it so it passes by one vote. I'm hoping that happens, and I'm also hoping that what Nancy Pelosi does is let it go to a vote so at least it gets Biden's signature on it and the checks start getting cut to rebuild our roads and airports and bridges, put in broadband, and build, you know, look, we think we're going to all electric cars. We better have charging stations. You can charge in your garage if you're just driving across Milwaukee to a grocery store. You're not going to charge in your garage if you're driving to LA from Milwaukee. There've got to be charging stations. And those charging stations, by and large, especially initially, have got to be put in by the government. You're not going to have private gas stations going to all that expense right away. So there you have it. Stay tuned, stand by, see what happens. Now the burden is going to shift to the House, not right away. There will be a vote in the Senate. There'll be sometime this week, but all the procedural skullduggery has been swept out of the way. It's all been swept out of the way, and now it's up to the House. And Nancy Pelosi has got to navigate a very, very tough decision here. She's got to keep progressive support. If she doesn't, I mean, she is the Speaker. She needs their votes to be the Speaker. And there's a lot of merit to voting on that $3.5 trillion bill and let it get back to the Senate and pass by budget reconciliation. But I truly believe that we've got to nail down the hard infrastructure right away, get the vote, get Biden's signature, get the money flowing to the states to start rebuilding the roads so it can't be overdone or undone if somehow we do badly in the 2022 elections and Moscow Mitch, Kevin McCarthy get in there and try to overdo it. We can't have that happen. We cannot have that happen. Can't have it happen. So we'll see. We will absolutely see. One little strange vignette, speaking of the 2022 elections, in Alaska, Sarah Palin is starting to rear her ugly head and in earnest saying she may run for the Senate against Lisa Murkowski. Now, you may say, who cares about Alaska? Who cares about Lisa Murkowski? Let me tell you something. Lisa Murkowski is a Republican. I don't support her. However, she did vote to convict Donald Trump on the second impeachment, and she has thrown some votes that are necessary as one of the moderate Republicans. If you have Sarah Palin in there, that's like having Marjorie Taylor Greene in there. That's like having a performance artist who's going to get up there and just pose for the cameras and screw things up. There's very little chance up in Alaska that a Democrat's going to get in. They have this kind of open election where everybody runs, and the top two are in the finals, and the top two are usually Republicans. One of them's got to be Lisa Murkowski. Now, Sarah Palin is the other one. Lisa Murkowski should be able to beat her, but if she does not, we don't want in the Senate the kind of pathology we have in the House with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and some of these type of people. And Sarah Palin is all of that, all of that. So keep an eye on Alaska. Maybe a small deal in your estimation, but we have got to keep control of the Senate. And if we need some Republican votes and a few moderate things like infrastructure, we ain't going to get it from Sarah Palin. We'll get it from Lisa Murkowski. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.